and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Joe, a round of applause. So today's been powerful already. Tonight, like Lou Davies is on another, in another dimension, in another realm. I don't know if she's here this morning, but she's. We've got two teaching pastors in Hope City Church that go around all the locations, and Ed Newton is one of them, and Lou Davies is the other. And also with Jen and I now taking on the location here in Sheffield, they've become even more important to build the culture of Hope City Church and to build the network and the connections in Hope City Church. So I think at the moment every week you should do the double and think about coming tonight. This is the finale of The Voice, right? It's not the finale in each of our hearts. This is the beginning of our homework. And I'm setting it up for you. But I'm just going to begin with the verse that I started last week on from Genesis 2, verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to Adam to see what he'd named them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that's what its name was. And I shared last week that it's just a crazy little story that. Like why on earth would God ask Adam to name the animals? And I said it's ridiculous until you understand the power of naming. And the moment you understand that you are a product of every name that's ever been spoken over you, and every name that you've spoken over yourself, every bit of inner dialogue, the names that you've used, you are a result of that, then you realize how powerful this actually is. It was practice time for Adam. And you know, he was describing the animals according to their physical characteristics, according to their character, according to their relationship with him. And so it was kind of like practice time. It wasn't necessarily prophetic, but it was the beginning of him using dialogue to establish something. And so when the Bible says that whatever he named them, God just went with. That's just how profound God thinks our vocal cords actually are. That he would go with it. That if you were to say, I'm a loser, that he would go with that because he's granted you a powerhouse, a power source, and he doesn't want to take that away from you because it might be part of your historic destruction, but it's part of your future construction. And so it's a gift. It's a sword. It's a two-edged sword. He can't just take it away. Whatever Adam named the animals, so it was. God was not about to interrupt in it because he saw this as a God-given power source that it granted to everyone. This is not a side event in the calendar of God. He began everything by vocalizing what he had already imagined. He said, let there be. And 10 times God said, let there be. And because we're made in the likeness of God, it's wrong for us to be silent. It's wrong to allow our inner dialogue and our outward dialogue to be at odds with what the Word of God says. And once you mix the powerhouse of our words, once you mix that with the powerhouse of God's Word, we've got so much power that's been made available us for us to construct and reconstruct our future. And because God believes in partnership, you are more important than you could ever realize in the reconstruction of your future. And this is what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says. It begins with, for the word of God is alive and active. That'll do. The Word of God's alive and active. There's no other book in all of the world that is alive and active. It's supernatural. It's alive. It's a living thing, this Word. When you read it, you don't read it. It reads you. It's such a living thing. This is power. This is power source. When Jesus said to Lazarus, come forward, the dead body was impacted with the Word of God and he came back to life. Nothing before Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, nothing happened. The moment he declared Lazarus come forth, the dead body of Lazarus was interjected with the living word. And it came back to life. When Jesus declared to Satan in the wilderness that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and attached two other scriptures to it, Satan left. And all he did was repeat what his quiet time was reading. He was reading the book of Deuteronomy. And all he did was bring up from the book of Deuteronomy three scriptures, and Satan left. Why? Because the word of God is living and active. It's like a two-edged sword. It's not neutral. It's not a textbook. It's not another historic book. It's not an ancient book. It's a living book. We're talking about living words that change people like Nehemiah. Through the living word, in an instant he's changed because of the intense power of the living word of God. The devil backed off because the word of God was too strong, too infectious, too active, too potent. The word of God is active and alive to heal bodies, pull down strongholds, remove mountains, and release miracles. Can you say amen? And yet, when you read Hebrews chapter 4, this verse doesn't go that way. This verse takes a reverse angle and it turns to you, not to your healing. It turns to you, not to your mountains. It turns to you, not to your valleys. It turns around to you and it says this: the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit. This is internal. Joint and marrow, that's internal. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Because you're conscious of outward mountains, God's conscious of inner dialogue. If you don't change inner dialogue, very little's going to change in your life. Because God has set in motion a power source of your words. And he set in motion the word of God that doesn't just need believing in, it needs speaking and confessing out. And until you come into line with this, then you'll be in the hands of the gods, in the hands of the Selavi, in the hands of the whatever will be. But there's a better way, there's a better life. God wants to get inside you. He wants to be like a surgeon. He wants to go inward before he goes outward. Why? Because you are a huge part of this. You're a huge part of this. Every turnaround, you're a huge part of. The re-scaping of your landscape, you're a huge part of. Life's outcomes, you're a huge part of. You think that what rules you is outward circumstances. What rules you is inner dialogue. That's what rules you. It's inner dialogue. It's not even your past, it's your interpretation of your past. It's not even the experiences of your past, it's the memories of your past. And your memories of your past are the interpretation of your past. It's not even I had a hard time, because you can get two people having hard times that have completely different outcomes because they see their hard time through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of despair. It's not just memories. It's not just experiences. It's how you reflect. This whole shebang has more to do with you than you could ever realize. Something's got to change in you. Your past was shaped by who you were more than you realize. Your future is shaped by who you will be more than you could ever imagine. Your kinks, your self-image, your interpretation of life, your optimism, your opinions, your faith, your vision, and your words determine everything. So the first thing that God's word does is uncover us. And if you know anything about the science of change, it starts with self-awareness. And what the word of God does is that it penetrates so much that everything that was covered becomes uncovered. And let me say, if you're feeling slightly embarrassed and slightly vulnerable right now, it could very well be the word of God uncovering in order to restore and rebuild you according to his fabric, his framework, his desire for your life. If there's an undoing, this could be because God's got a construction job that he's a part of. And this word of God that firstly begins with changing you, it doesn't stop there. It then moves out from you and changes the world around about you. So if you feel overly sensitive, exposed, and self-conscious, it could be God getting you ready for the greatest transformation in the universe. That'd be you. The greatest miracle in the universe is not the stars or the sun or the moon. It's you. It's you changing. Is the greatest transformation of the entire universe is your transformation, the transformation of you. You're the master key to your future. You don't need to change in who you're married to. You don't need to change in where you live. You don't need to change of your social circles. You need a change of you. A bigger you, bigger future. Problem with divorce is you take yourself with you. Oh no. Everything works out similar, but now you're stuck with it. Three mistakes looks bad on you. So now you stick with it. The problem has been you. The solution is you. You need to change before everything changes. Matthew 9, verse 20 to 21. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, well, even that's beautiful. Think about it. That's her inner dialogue. You're thinking, we imagine a sick woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. We think, gosh, she's pitiful. She's in despair. She's used up all the doctor's advice. Nothing's happened to her. Yeah, but what about her inner dialogue? How fabulous is that? We're talking about someone who the word has changed. The word has exposed. She's come to nothing. And then her inner dialogue, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. That's remarkable. This is inner victory that then transferred to outward victory. She said to herself, she spoke to herself. It's not what you believe, it's what you say about what you believe. It's both proof of belief and proof of the fullness of your faith. You've got to knock doubt out. You've got to knock fear out. She said to herself, this is the beginning. Anybody who says to themselves, if only I could touch, then I'll be healed, is on their way to some kind of victory. She moved from inner turmoil to inner faith. And that faith was so complete, she didn't just believe it, she spoke it. She spoke to herself the words of faith. Then Jesus turned around and said, Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Your inner wholeness has created your outer wholeness. Oh my, this is some work, isn't it? Because some of you have been inner dialoguing in a terrible way for 37 years. The only advantage we have is the Holy Spirit. That I suspect it won't take 37 years to rewire your thinking. Take a lot shorter than that. There's work for us to do. And if we do this work, there's an outcome for us to experience. Proverbs 18, verse 21, one of the most profound truths in the entire Bible says this: the tongue has the power of life, the power of death. Those who love it, those who cherish it, those who develop the former, the power of life, will eat of its fruit. If you add to it the power of God's word to the power of the tongue, it releases a metaphysical realm where God transcends this natural order of things. He interjects. And eventually, the word becomes flesh. Eventually, the word becomes flesh. It manifests itself. I'm going to pull out. But you know, I'm a product of what you say about me. You're a product of what I say about you. You're a result of my inner dialogue. I'm a result of your inner dialogue. This doesn't just contain itself just to me, my, and I, and my future. It's our future. Our church is caught between what it was and what it will be. And to bring about what it will be, we'll have to bring about a change of your dialogue, not just about you, but about us. Might I suggest, right, that we don't go back to cliche, we don't go back to just bless your brother. I hate bless your brother. Let's not just go back to quoting scriptures. Let's not just quote scripture. Let's live in the scripture, that you can pull out the truth of the scripture. It's not become machine-like. You know, let me say this, that what I want to introduce into Britain, into our church, is when you listen to someone, really listen to them. Like, really listen. Unless you pinpoint exactly where they live, you won't be able to speak into exactly where they live. And let me say this, that don't sort of think that, well, you know, don't ever downsize somebody else's pain. If it's all encompassing for them, it's their entire world. And it might be the smallest thing. It might be, you know, that their dog died. You think, well, what's a dog? Everything to people that have dogs. I've had to learn this firsthand, that if somebody is stumbling over something or worried about something, that Dave, take note and find out the cause, find out just how they feel about it and really zero in on it. But, you know, become an incredible listener and then become an authentic declarer of God's word. And when I say everything's going to be okay, it's an interpretation of the scripture, what God began in your life. He's faithful to complete in your life. But I want to not replace this by the old, I'll just confess it, blab it, and I'll grab it. I want this to be far more authentic. I don't want you just, you know, I know that a lot of you need to leave church at the end, even right now, and pick up your kids and things like that. But, you know, what I don't want is everybody just leaving thinking I've had my fill. I'm trying to build community here. I'm trying to slow this place down. I mean, some people say, gosh, a lot of people hung around at the gathering on Friday night. A lot of people hung around at the 5 p.m. last Sunday. I'm thinking, well, shouldn't that be natural? Why would you want to leave without lifting? Without lifting. But listen, I'm not a preacher. I'm a lifter. I don't come up here to preach a great sermon. I come up here to lift you from the lowlands of doubt to the highlands of faith. That's what I'm here for. That's my vision. Every person I meet, I want to lift them. I firstly want to find out what kind of ledge you're living on. What makes you sweat? What makes you anxious? So I can be more sincere, more loving, more kind. And that I don't want to leave you before saying, it'll be okay. Jesus is the healer. And if we can introduce that culture into Hope City Church, this place could easily double in the next 6 months. Could easily double. Easily. No, just easily. You'll never get this across secular Britain.
We need to be the initiation, the beginning, the capsule, the seed of a great nation. We want to say at times, you know, it's written. If someone's not well, we want to say, come on, be healed in Jesus' name. We want to declare a greater name than the name that we have. Father, help us at the end of the voice to actually be the voice for each other. And those whose voice has been tongued, has been torn out of their mouth. Those, God, that have had self-dialogue, self-talk that's just being so corrupting and so destructive, help us to talk the right words and to give them the right footprints to follow, to lead them to their destiny of victory. Help us, Lord, not to live our lives just obsessed by our need for healing or our need for release, but help us as a church to mature and to be as concerned with other people's need for release. And Lord, you've said if we release others, then we ourselves will be released. And it's more blessed to give. And so I pray, Lord God, in a tangible sense, you'd slow down the service after the end of the service. I pray that you create hubs, create communities, create networks. Father, I pray not one new person would leave without someone saying, hey, let's do coffee on Tuesday. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you.
We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast today. And if you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening in the life of the church.